I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the real you. Sometimes it's the part of you that only God sees. Everything you do comes from the real you. All right? Am I tweaking your interest yet? Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you and me. And everything that we do stems from this one thing. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Anybody guess what I'm talking about? Huh? What did you say? Oh. Anybody know what the real you is? What everything we do comes from? Any ideas? Soul? Spirit? Yeah. The heart. I woke up with these words yesterday morning. Set your heart to seek God. You know, we want to set our hearts. You know, if you want to get up at a certain time, what do? Set your alarm clock. I'm always rough on my alarm clock. I beat it up all the time. If you're baking a cake and you want to take it out at the right time, what do? Set a timer, okay? If you want to go somewhere and that somewhere is far away, what do? You set yourself in that direction, right? So we want to set our hearts tonight in the direction of seeking God, all right? So I want to talk about your heart a little bit, and it might be a little different than what you would expect, but praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Now he's talking here about wives, but I want to just pull out this phrase, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. See, God is the only one that really sees our heart for what it is. He knows every thought and every motive that originates in our heart. Even the people that are closest to you can't even really see your heart like God sees it. That's why Peter here calls it the hidden man of the heart. It's hidden to plain view, but it's there, and out of our heart is how we live our lives. You know, to your own heart be true. Your heart will lead you in the way that you need to go if you really follow your heart, okay? And anytime that God deals with us, he deals with our heart. When he wanted to choose a king, when he wanted to find Saul's replacement, Samuel told Jesse, he said, you know, God told Samuel, or Nathan, no, Samuel, it was Samuel. He said, man looks to the outward appearance, but God looks to the heart. And all of our behavior, if we're behaving in a wrong way, it's because our heart in that area is not right. And you can't just correct their behavior without correcting the heart, because if you don't correct the heart, the behavior will still keep coming. It'll still reoccur. So you've got to tweak the heart. You've got to correct the heart. You've got to deal with the source of where that behavior is coming from. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Let me just tell you what the heart is. It is, this is according to a Bible dictionary that I have, the heart is the true inner self. In the way that the Hebrews thought, The heart was the center of each person's being and intellect. With your heart, you feel, you perceive, and you make moral choices with your heart. It's with your heart that you seek and respond to God. Where does the Holy Spirit convict a person? He convicts them in their heart. He said, I'll take out the stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. So when a person gets born again, they get a new heart. All right? So the heart is the true person. And did you know that your exterior, the external you, you could put on a smiling face and be sad in your heart, and, you know, you might fool the people, but you're not fooling God. So the heart, really, it can be different from what's on the outside. So that's why we got to deal with the heart sometimes. You got to change your heart. You got to correct your heart. You got to set your heart in the direction of seeking God in all things. You must set your heart. You must align your heart with God. You must devote your true inner self to the things of God, the thing that God has for you, the plans of God. We must change our behavior by changing our hearts. You know, if a plane gets a couple degrees off of its destination, just a few degrees, it's going to miss its destination by a lot. So Proverbs chapter 4, and really this whole chapter talks about our attitude of our heart. I'm just going to point out a few verses. Number one, it talks about hearing. Hear, you children. How you know that your heart is involved in your hearing? Oh, you know, you could hear with half a heart. Oh, here we got to go again. I got to hear this. Well, you might miss the most important thing that's going to help you. As a believer in Christ, we should never do anything with half a heart. We should give our all, just as Jesus gave his all. Did Jesus hold back in anything? No. Was there one part of salvation that he hadn't covered? No. He gave it all, he did it all, and it covers all. Praise the Lord. So how you hear is going to be affected by your heart. And then in verse 2, he says, don't forsake the law. Did you know that your attitude towards the law, whether or not you're going to do it or forsake it, is a heart issue? Okay? And verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. That's a heart issue. Do you have a teachable heart? Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to be corrected? The Word of God, the Bible, is inspired. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Two out of those four are correcting, you know, because we're going to be doing things. You know, you get used to doing things a certain way. Well, this is how I always did it. And we use our experience a lot. I've been in this thing for 20 years. Well, what does that mean? You know, Brother Hagin, he was in the ministry for 12 years. He pastored a church, well, different churches actually, but he was a pastor for 12 years. Then the Lord dealt with him to go out and travel full time. And when he started doing that, the Lord spoke to him, said, you're just now entering the first phase of the ministry that I've had for you, after being in the ministry for 12 years. But there were some things, and see, the Lord dealt with him, and he did it, and he was successful. All right? So this whole chapter, and let's get down to verse 23. Whether or not we stick with wisdom is a hard issue. Verse 23 says, keep your heart with barely enough to keep it up, right? How should we keep our heart, according to this verse? With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All right? I'm going to read some different versions of what that says. Out of it are the issues of life. And I don't know if I have that. Yes, tell me that. All right, flow the springs of life. Another version says, out of it is how we live. So it's very interesting here how the Bible says for us to guard our heart with all diligence. You know, you got to be vigilant. You got to be at it. You got to keep it up. You know, I found if I don't pick up my clothes, they accumulate where I can't walk. You know, have you ever discovered that when you set dishes on the sink and you never wash them, how the stack gets bigger and bigger? It is amazing. So he's telling us here to keep your heart, guard it, for that's where you live from. That's where the spring of life flows from. That's everything that you do comes from your heart. And you've got to guard it. Why? Because your heart could be corrupted. Your heart could be deceived. Because if out of it flow the issues of life, if you've got a lot of junk in those issues, what's coming out? If you don't guard your spring, if you don't make sure that, you know, on our roof, in our microwave, we have a vent. And that vent is not guarded, so water was coming in. Every time it rained, it would leak in our microwave because it wasn't guarded. And water found a way in. See, the devil is looking for a way into your heart. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, give no place to the devil. So what the devil does is he comes with you with temptations, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. When someone treats you bad, the devil will say, you better give him a knuckle sandwich. You better tell him how you really feel. Give him a piece of your mind. And the devil is there encouraging you. Come on, give him a piece of your mind. Now you have a choice to make. You can either give him a piece of your mind, or you can be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's about guarding your heart. Because what you allow in your heart will come out in words and actions. So he tells us here to guard your heart with all diligence. Did you know that your heart is a storehouse? It stores things, good and bad. And go with me. Well, let's read on here. Let's look at part of what's involved of guarding our heart. Look at verse 24. Why did he say this right after he told us to guard our heart? Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from you. And that word froward means deceitful. If you're constantly letting deceitful words come out of your mouth, it's going to mess up the springs of life that flow from your heart. Why else would he say this in connection with guarding our hearts? Because our words and our heart work together. We might see here in a little bit, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. By our words, we are justified, and by our words, we are condemned. Life and death is where? In the power of the tongue. Think about that for a minute. Life and death is in the power of your tongue, of my tongue. So when you speak to a situation, to a person, you're either speaking life or death. When you're speaking death, it's going to mess your heart up. When you're speaking life, it's going to build your heart up. Okay? But we are going to set our hearts tonight to seek God. The New Living Translation said about verse 24, it says, it affects all you do, your heart. Guard your heart because it affects all you do. That's powerful. The English version says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you have a negative picture about yourself in your heart? You got to change that. You got to put different film in your camera. If you want the pictures to come out better, you got to change your film. Change what's in your heart, and you will change the behavior. You'll change the outcome. But first, you got to change the heart. But too many times, the world has trained people to what? To change the outside without doing anything on the inside. It's amazing how some people look after they've had a tuck here and a pull here and different things. Go with me to 1 Chronicles. Well, no, go to 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 20. 2 Kings, chapter 20. It's talking about Hezekiah. In verse 1, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. You know, when you're facing a serious illness, it'd be good to do a heart checkup. See what's in your heart. See what you've been putting in your heart. Have you been putting in doubt, unbelief, or have you been putting in faith in your heart? So Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. How'd you like to get that report? You go to the doctor and you say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. You're going to die. You're not going to live. All right, that would sober you up pretty much. Look at verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He got really serious about his prayer. He changed his heart attitude about life. He stopped focusing on himself, and he just turned to the wall so that he could have no distractions. And he began to pray. He began to get serious. He began to focus. He began to set his heart to seek God. And he prayed, verse 3, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Verse 4, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. See, when you set your heart to seek God, God is inclined to hear your prayer. He knows whether or not you're doing it with your whole heart or not, or you're just going through the motions. You know, religion will just have you go through the motions. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector that were standing praying? And the Pharisee was like, oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that man, a vile sinner. And there was the tax collector. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinful man. The tax collector's heart was one where he was crying out for mercy. It was a genuine, sincere, heartfelt cry. And the Pharisee was just a pompous, mechanical show for the people around him. Jesus would often tell the Pharisees, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. See, and that's deceptive. When your heart and your mouth don't agree, I wouldn't speak. I wouldn't speak until your mouth and your heart agree in line with the word. It's like Mom always said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it, right? How about the two thieves on the cross? One was saying, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get down? Mocking, just like the people. But the other one said, Lord, have mercy on me. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Which one had the right heart? The one who ended up in paradise. Hezekiah was told by the prophet that he was sick and going to die. And all of a sudden he said, I better get serious about this thing. Don't wait until you get a report from the doctor to get serious. Let's get our hearts right now. Let's set our hearts to seek God. You know, as a minister, it's very easy to get caught up in the doing things. But I got to remember that I got to believe God just like everybody else. And if I get caught up in the doing, and if I'm not setting my heart to seek God, then all the doing stuff is going to fall apart. But when you set your heart to seek God, have a little timer in there. Oh, it's time to seek God. Ding, it's time to seek God. Ding, ding, oh, it's time to seek God. Whenever you face it, it should be every day. And then it should be when you have a major decision to make. It should be when there's a choice that you're going to have to make that's going to affect your life and others. You better seek God first. You better set your heart to seek God. So the Lord heard his prayer. He says, I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. Can you say amen? On the third day you shall go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto your days 15 years. See, it's amazing that when we get our hearts right, how the blessings will come. And I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. So, when Hezekiah got the news, he began to seek God. He set his heart to seek God. He got serious about it. He wasn't just playing games. He wasn't just going through the motions. You know, when you go through the motions, you're only hurting yourself. It's better just to be real. All right, let's go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. He's right after Ezekiel. Look at verse 10 of Daniel 10. He said, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Underline that phrase, greatly beloved. All right? If you study the life of Daniel, he fasted for 21 days. He refused to partake of the king's dainties. And there was things that he did when it was against the law to pray, he prayed. Amen? Imagine if we had more principals of schools to pray anyway in their schools. You want to take me to prison? What are you in for? I'm in for praying. See, Daniel refused to compromise because he had a pure spring that flowed out of his heart. How Daniel lived was he lived from his heart. His heart was right with God, and he refused to compromise. He refused to trade what God was doing in his life for the things of this world. So, and he was praying here. He was mourning for 3 weeks praying. And this angel spoke to him and said, Daniel, you're a man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto you am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. You wonder why people fall under the power of God? I remember one time when I was in the Czech Republic, and this evangelist from Sweden was there, and we were participating in this Bible study, and he began to speak over my life, and for 45 minutes I just sat there and shook. It was so heavy, my breathing was like, I mean, there was just such a presence that came on me. I literally shook for about 45 minutes. So I kind of know what that's like. Now look at verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God. And that chasten, he just means that he was fasting. You know, when you fast, you really get serious about God. And I'm firmly convinced that fasting doesn't work well unless you can pray. So you got to be in a place where you can be away from things and pray when you're fasting. So from the first day that he set his heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. For now I am come to make you understand what shall befall your people in this latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So when did Daniel get an answer? He'd been praying for 21 days. What if he'd have quit on day 19? He would have said, you know what, God's not hearing me. I'm just going to quit. See, he did not have a quitter heart. He had a heart that said, no matter how long it takes, I'm going to seek God, because he knew that if he sought God, he will find him. He had already been in the lion's den. He had already known that when he prayed, he doesn't care if man says you can't pray, it's up to God. He said, I'm going to pray, and he got thrown to the lions, and the Lord delivered him. He fell asleep on a lion's rug until the morning. The mouths were shut supernaturally. The king called him. He had already seen God deliver him from the lions. And there he was. He was praying. He was interceding for 21 days. And he had a heart that he was going to pray, and he was going to wait upon the Lord. Because when you wait upon the Lord, what happens? Your strength will be renewed. But you have to have a determination. You have to have a resolve within you, in your heart, that you're going to do what you got to do until the Lord shows up. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep listening. I'm going to keep doing, because that is what's in my heart to do, because that's how I live. When your heart is set to seek the Lord, this is how you got to live. And the angel clearly said, from the first day that he set his heart to seek God, he had the right attitude to start with. And because of that, the Lord sent an angel and showed him what was going to come about a nation. You want to know what's going to happen to this nation? Set your heart to seek God like Daniel did, and you'll get an answer. Now, you may not, you know, you can't say, Lord, send your angel. There was never a prayer that we could say, send your angels. But if God chooses to send you, angel, that's up to him. You just set your heart to seek God, and he'll give you an answer. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you the next step. But it's how you seek him. It's how you go about seeking him. You got to prepare your heart to seek God. Amen? You know, God never does anything haphazardly. So why should we? Now, I've been guilty of that before. I've done a lot of things haphazardly. But you know what? I think in the day and the hour that we're living in, we have to take some extra time and set our hearts to seek God. Because there are so many distractions in this world. There are so many things that are vying for your attention. You know, if you have a cell phone, anybody can get a hold of you pretty much anywhere. There's a lot of distractions. 24-hour news. There's a lot of distractions. You know, and I'm speaking to myself. We just have to set our hearts to seek God. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 1 says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and brought up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." They'd been without the presence of God for 20 years. Imagine that. Verse 3, "And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Asheroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asheroth and served the Lord only." You can't have more than one God. Our God is one God, and he's jealous. And nothing has more affection from us than God. Our affection should be on God. Our top, our best, our most affection should be on him. And but I want you to notice, he told them to do five things. He told them to return with all their heart. He told them to put away or to rid yourself, clean house, purify. This is how you prepare your heart to seek God. There might be something that is in between you and God. There might be something that's preventing you from getting to God. But thank God you have the ability to overcome that. You have the strength and the power of the Lord to remove anything that's keeping you from God. Sometimes you got to put away your idols. Then he said, prepare. You got to take time to prepare your heart. Come to church prepared. Take some time to seek the Lord and prepare your heart before you get into worship. We ought to come here prepared. We don't come here to get filled. We come here to give. Give glory unto God. You know, give. We ought to be prepared to yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit when they operate. If the Lord wants to give a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or discerning of spirits, are you ready to flow with them? Are you prepared? We got to take some time to prepare. Preparation time is never lost time. Before I could get into the ministry, I had to go through Bible school. That was my time of preparation. The Lord was working on me because he knew where he wanted to take me. But before I went to Bible school, my character was not at where it should be to maintain me. And I had to go through a lot of things. I had to change my attitude in a lot of things. I had to change my words because there were some things in my heart that weren't right before God. If something's not right in your heart, don't lie about it. Because, like I said earlier, you're not fooling God. Because he knows. The word of God is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And then he told them to serve the Lord only. They were serving these other gods along with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Baal, I love you. Praise the Lord. Asheroth, I love you. Praise the Lord. It's like a three-ring circus. It's no wonder why they were apart from the presence of God. At that time, the Ark of the Lord represented the presence of God. For 20 years, it was not where it should be. For 20 years. And then he said, when you do these things, there'll be deliverance. So God will reward the heart that is set to seek him. Just be real with God. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm dealing with this. This is hard, but I come before you. I call upon you. See, part of preparing your heart is worship. It's praise. It's singing. It's giving glory to God. It's getting into the Word of God. There's a lot of things that we can do to prepare our hearts. Because that's where we're going to do things from. It's going to come from our heart. And the Lord answered through thunder. Verse 10 says, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them or overwhelmed them, and they were smitten before Israel. Man, when you seek God, he'll answer with thunder. Glory to God. Go with me to Psalm 108. Psalm 108. Look at verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God. This is how you fix your heart. He says, my heart is fixed, and he's telling you how. What's it fixed on? Through praise and worship. That your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and meet out of the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is also the strength of my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast out my shoe. Over Philistia I will I triumph. Who will bring me into a strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who cast us off? And wilt not you, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly. Glory to God, or gain the victory. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. And that's all in relation to having our heart fixed on him through praise and worship and singing and just putting our focus on him. When my heart is fixed, steadfast, firm, immovable. You couldn't shake me from serving the Lord. You couldn't pay me enough money to serve the devil. Why? Because my heart is fixed on the Lord. Fixed means it's not broken. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So what are you talking about, your broken heart? The blood of Jesus seals up the wounds. He binds up the brokenhearted. He cauterizes the wounds. It's not a wound anymore. There's not even a scar because the blood covers it. So what are you belly aching about what happened 10 years ago? Get over it. Get it under the blood. Quit talking about it. That's your problem. Your heart is fixed on the problem and not the answer. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at verse 30. He that is not with me is what? Against me. God makes it pretty simple. When you treat your family, you're either with him or against him. When you're dealing with people, you're either with him or against him. All right? There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. All right? He says, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters abroad. And then he goes down, look at verse 33. He talked about the Holy Ghost, and he said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. You're known by the issue of life that flows from your heart. Then he said, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we have an oops in our words, you know, you never want to hear your barber say oops, but when we do an oops, we say something that we didn't want to say or didn't intend to say, or that was mean-spirited. The reason we said that is because there's something in our heart that's mean-spirited. That is an issue in our heart. And the words were simply, the behavior was simply just the manifestation of what was already there. And whatever stirred up that which is in your heart, that's just what came out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke says it this way, out of the good treasure of your heart come good things. But out of the bad treasure come bad things. Is your treasure chest corrupted? Do you have a reoccurring behavior or habit that keeps coming up? That's an issue of the heart. You got to work on it from the inside out, not the outside in. There's a reason why that behavior showed itself then. There's a reason why. Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. This is on the other side of the coin. When you don't set your heart to seek God, you'll be stubborn and rebellious. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 78. Well, go to verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God, or they did not prepare their heart to seek God. They were only motivated by what affected them externally. And because they did not set their heart to seek God, they did not prepare their heart to seek God, they were rebellious and stubborn. So when you're not preparing your heart, then you're giving place to rebellion and stubbornness. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. All right? But go to Ezra chapter 7, right before Nehemiah, before Job. Ezra, chapter 7. Look at verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. He just didn't want the knowledge of it, but he wanted to practice it. He wanted to do it and to teach it in Israel, statutes and judgment. So he inquired of it. He required it. You know, seeking the Lord is like seeking air. If I was to put my hand over your nose and mouth, how violent would you get when it's time to get some air? You'd be like, get your hand off me. You'd be taking my hand. You'd be kicking me or whatever. It's because you need that air. Guess what? We need to seek God just like we need air. It's a requirement. Say it's a requirement. So Ezra, he prepared his heart to seek the law. He inquired of it, he required it, he yearned for it, and he sought to teach it. He didn't just want to know it. Look what I know! Look what I know! No, he wanted to know it so that he could do it and share it with others. See, I want to share the word with the next generation. I want to share the word because God's got a plan for your life. And he's developing you, he's training you, but you got to get the word in your heart. Because you won't get the plan out here unless the word's not here. If you don't have the word here, you're not going to get the plan here. So now's the time to get the word in you above anything else. When you get the word in you, you're going to get wisdom in you. You're going to get understanding in you. You're going to get peace in you. You're going to get joy in you. Everything that you need comes with the word, but you got to put it in your heart. And the only way we know what's in your heart is if it comes out your mouth, if it's seen and heard. Amen? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to finish here. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 27. Ephesians 4, 27. Now, this whole, from verse 23, he's talking about the new man. He's talking about our heart now in Christ Jesus. Okay? It's a new heart. It's recreated. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. And he says some things here where we're supposed to put off the old way of doing things and put on the new things, okay? Well, let's go verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How is your heart formed now? What's it made up of? True righteousness, or righteousness and true holiness. Say, I have a righteous heart. Say, I have a holy heart. You know, it became that way because of the blood of Jesus. Then he says, wherefore, put away lying. If you lied before, don't do it now. All right? Because that was the old man. That's associated with the old way of doing things. You have a new way to do things now. What should you do instead of lying? Speak the truth. Tell the truth in love. All right? Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. So very simple. You replace lying with the truth. Okay? And then we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. If your anger is causing you to sin, you got a heart issue that you got to work on. Now, was Jesus ever angry? Yeah. You can't clear out a temple and flip over tables in a nice way. Excuse me, let me flip over this table. No. Jesus went in there pretty angry, but in his anger, he never sinned. Okay? He was cleaning house. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you're letting the sun go down upon your wrath, you have unforgiveness in your heart. And you got to get it out. Because it does not do your heart good, let me tell you. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. You can no longer use the devil making me do it as an excuse. The devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. He can only let you do what you let him do. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Did you know that anytime we're dealing with our heart, it's always connected with our mouth? With the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word is nigh ye in your heart and in your mouth, the word of God, or the word of faith which we speak. So if you're not going to speak corruptly anymore, what are you going to do? You're going to speak edifying. So always try to find the good in people. Amen? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So, we got to set our hearts to seek God. It takes preparation. It takes worship. It may take turning away from something and turning to God. Simply a change of our focus. You focus on God, not on the problem. All right? You got to set your heart to seek the Lord. Let's set our hearts. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, we just come before you, Lord. We worship you. We magnify you. I want you to seek God. I want you to cry out to God with your voice. Don't let me do it. You do it. I can't do it for you. You got to do it. Oh, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Just speak it out. Just cry out to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whatever you need, whatever you want, and whenever you desire, just bring it before the Lord. Put your eyes on God. You've been dealing with some things, put them on the Lord. Take them off your circumstance. Take them off your feelings. Just make that adjustment. Oh, Lord, we just make that adjustment right now in our hearts. Lord, we let you be the focus. Oh, the priority. Lord, we look to you to set our day, our agenda, Father. We look to you for a plan, Lord, to follow after you. Lord, we will not give place to the devil. We will not give him the time of day. We will not give him an opportunity. Lord, we guard our hearts, for out of it flow the issues of life in the name of Jesus. Lord, those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are contrary to the word, Lord, we cast them out of our mind right now, and we throw them into the trash and take them out to the curb so that the trash man can pick it up in the name of Jesus. We put those thoughts away from us. Those thoughts of negativity that were spoken over you, put them away in the name of Jesus. Listen to what God says about you. You're the apple of his eye. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the accepted and the beloved. You're forgiven. You're the healed. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just seek you in this church, Father. We seek your will. Oh, we seek you, Lord. We wait upon you, Father, that we might renew our strength, that we can run and not be weary, that we can walk and not faint. Oh, we call upon you, God, and you show us great and mighty things which we do not know. Oh, we allow your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Help us make right choices and right decisions in the name of Jesus. Lord, we seek you. We seek your face. Not what you can give us, but we seek your face, your presence, oh Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You know, oftentimes what I do I'll go through the alphabet, and I'll think of names or characteristics of God, like he's the Alpha, or he's always by my side. I call upon him. And I use the alphabet, and by the time I get to Z, you know, I'm getting pretty stirred up. So sometimes you gotta take some time before you pray, prepare your heart. When you come to church, prepare your heart. Say, I'm gonna get what I need today. I'm gonna receive. I'm gonna be actively involved. You know, there were times I could sit in the service and I'd watch the minister. You know, especially the ones that walk like me. I'd go from side to side, and then I would know kind of what direction the Holy Spirit was going to go. So when you go through struggles, set your heart to seek the Lord. Amen? And if you have any offering tonight, give that in faith. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord. We take this word, and we will seek you with our whole heart. We will set our hearts to seek you, Lord, to look on the things that are eternal. And we bless you, Lord. You're so good and gracious. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to join us in inviting people to church this Saturday, you can come here at 4 o'clock. And from 4 to 5, we're going to go out and just invite people to come to church. Amen. And